It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the last weekend in March. Gone. But you know what? April's right around the corner. Don't be a fool on Tuesday. But at the end of the day, we're getting that much closer to spring. Was sitting in the hot tub earlier this week, and there were three robins bobbing around my yard, and I'm like, that's the first sign of spring. So it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get out and clean up your grill. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. It is the Grilling Guys. You can catch us on thegrillingguys.com. It's the interweb. And we're also on Facebook / the Grilling Guys. And we're just all over the place. You can look at that Grilling Guys website and check out the headset at the top, and that'll show you how to send the podcast to your phone. But if you have an Apple iPhone or certain other ones, you can just go to the podcast app and punch in The Grilling Guys, and you'll see our fantastic logo, which, of course, was created by our good friend Greg Palazzolo, who just did a marvelous job building that logo 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it's timeless.
It is.
It's just timeless.
It is. It gets better every year.
And we did copyright it, so that was.
How about that?
Yeah.
We're big.
Right, yeah. That's it.
We're somebody.
We're not any bigger than that, but that's it.
I also had a wonderful hot tub date last night with my girl, and my goodness, I had worked so hard all day that I just said, I got to get in the tub, and she was on it.
Yeah.
She was on it.
Yep.
And she might have had a couple cold beverages.
Right, but that cold, you know, it was like 29 when I got up this morning, and that was, you know, that you're getting near that at nighttime, right, before you go to bed, and there's nothing better than jumping in there and coming out all warmed up, dry off real quick, and jump into bed. Ooh, that makes you sleep like a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sure does.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, you know, this show very often revolves around our personal lives or what were our biggest challenge of the week or whatever it was. In this case, like right now in particular, it was kind of a cleanup show, and I'm focused right now on getting rid of the food in the freezer because, believe it or not, you can't just keep it in there forever.
Right.
Tim Sobey tells us meat is good for maximum of a year because the bacteria keeps growing up into like 70 below zero. So my freezer only goes down to like 10 degrees.
Right.
So the bacteria is still growing. So I want to get that food gone. And, you know, I buy a cow every year, and I've got quite a bit of chucks and steaks and not much burger left, which is backwards. But also just chicken and things that I can't identify right now because they don't go in order after you've gotten done. My daughter-in-law organized it wonderfully when they moved in with us. But it's still, you can't keep that forever because when you're getting rid of a container of chili, there's no chili spot, right?
Right.
So you got to kind of parse it. And I thought, I wonder how many other people have to deal with this. And I thought, let's talk about getting rid of freezer food and how to deal with things like freezer burn.
Yeah, there's a couple things that come to mind real quick. By the way, I ate brats from September of 22. This past week on the grill. The wife and I are in a carnivore diet, and I'm trying to get everything meat and variety of stuff because while it sounds awesome, you can't eat steak every day. I do it two or three times a week. But where I want to go is you and I have the old-style freezers that don't self-defrost.
Right.
Okay.
I think they're making those again.
Well, I don't know about that, but what I do know is those are much better to keep your frozen meat
in
than the one that's on the top of your refrigerator, because if you got a frost
or
free
the bottom.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you. Yep, because I have one of each of those too. Yeah. But if you think about it, how can anything be frost free unless the temperature comes up to melt the frost in the freezer?
They have heating elements in the walls that kick on once a day and warm up the sides.
Yep.
So any food that's touching those warms up right there and cools, warms, cools, warms, cools.
Every day.
And so there's a couple tips on that I thought would be important to talk about. And we're all guilty of this, but who hasn't been to the supermarket and seen
a deal,
bone-on chicken breasts for $1.59 a pound and bought three packs?
Yep.
Well, that's fine. It's not really, because if you want good chicken, you're going to go to a good market like Sobey. But if you do buy the big brand stuff, you have to remember that that is not packaged for freezing. It's packaged for transport. All fresh chicken you buy has actually been frozen already, for one thing, because they pack it on ice because it's such foul meat.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're going to freeze chicken, I would recommend you buy freezer bags, because it's a thicker plastic, and then you pull them out and you put them in the bag and you vacuum it out, even if it's just with your air, but you squeeze all the air out of it and seal it up, because what that does is it gives you a nice protection against the air that's going to be inside that package, which is where your freezer burn wants to come from. The other thing is, if you go to a place, I love, of course, going to Sobey's because it's so wonderful. But when you buy your meat there, it's wrapped in butcher paper. You can freeze that right out of the case.
Right.
And freezer paper is the best thing. I mean, butcher paper is the best thing to freeze your meat in.
And Sobey does such a fantastic job training his people, because you go up and down that meat counter, you take a number, right? There's 9 or 10 people on his team that are serving you.
Just at the counter.
At the counter, right.
There's an army in the back.
Right, yeah. Every one of them asks you, are you freezing this or are you going to eat it in the next couple days? And that's why they do it, because they'll give it to you in a plastic bag if you're going to eat it in the next couple days, but they'll wrap it in freezer paper if you're going to keep it a little longer and you might throw it in your freezer.
Yeah, take the meat sticks, for example.
Right.
Those aren't going to make it out of the parking lot. So we know we're not freezing them.
You're right.
We're not freezing them.
But as I mentioned, we're on this carnivore diet, but I go over there, and the last time I was there, I bought two bone-in ribeyes, two porterhouse, and a tri-tip, right? Well, she's like, you want all those in freezer paper? I said, yes, and because I don't know which ones I'm going to eat when, right? But it just gave me the option to have those, and you don't have to. Now, I have a vac sealer. You have a vac sealer. That's really the best way to put them in there. But if for what I'm doing, I put that in there, it might only be in there 3 or 4 days, and I'm going to pull it back out.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
I hate it when I do that. Why'd I freeze it?
Right. Yeah. But anyway, so it's the preparation and the storage. And if you get meat out that does have freezer burn on it, that doesn't mean you need to throw it away. But what I would do is maybe use that in a stew, or use it in some sort of a other dish, as opposed to just eating the meat freshly cooked.
Right. Because we're going to cover that in the fourth segment, too. Right. If you do have meat that you notice is ugly and it bothers you, and like, we're both pretty persnickety on our food.
Right.
So we see that stuff, and you're half tempted to just give it to the dogs.
Right, yeah.
But you just can't always do that.
Right.
And stuff's kind of expensive these days.
Yeah. It just changes the texture. That frozen freezer burn, if you will, on the surface really is going to make it a little bit tougher, and it just changes the texture, especially in beef and chicken, that, it's just not preferable, but it's still edible, but it's just not preferable.
And one thing I don't freeze a bunch is bread, because we have Hall Street and Wealthy Street Bakery providing us with wonderful fresh bread every week. And if you have not been in there, we're going to talk to the proprietor in the next segment and talk about why that place is so robust.
Yeah, and Andy's also going to, I know he's got some special stuff that he's making for the Easter dinners and stuff that we're going to have here in the next couple weeks. So, yeah, Andy Habermeyer, he's a proprietor at Wealthy Street and Hall Street Bakery, is going to be on the show in the next segment, and you won't want to miss that, because this guy is everything is artisan there. What I mean is it's made last night, and it's in their case today. And if it's been there more than one day, there's a day old bread rack, but there's not much on it. I'm going to tell you that, because they got it dialed in, and they do a tremendous business there.
Great.
So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to get all up in your bread coming up next. Stick with us. We'll be back.